My favourite part of the month is Shirley Smith has just come in to join me, and today she's changed the title. I don't know if she heard me earlier on. She's changed the title of what we're talking about. It's now called Shirley. Oh, I better switch on your mic, Shirley. That's the only thing. No.
Helping my child to listen and follow direction more often.
Okay, well, that's very good. That's very good. And nothing about saying no?
Well, we will just talk about that. Yeah, we will. I suppose it's just come from parents saying, how do I help? I'm saying the same thing all day, every day. And how do I help my child to actually do what I'm asking them to do and follow my direction when I give it? So that's why I thought I'd do this podcast, because parents have asked me to look at this as a...
And I suppose we do say no an awful lot, don't we? It's almost our default position, isn't it? No, 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 no. I remember at home with my mother years ago, you got no, no, no. And sometimes you got a maybe. A maybe was usually a yes, but you couldn't quite be 100% sure that maybe it was going to be a full yes or just a sort of a yes. But anyway.
But it's also usually frustrating for parents, because sometimes we feel like it's like Groundhog Day, that we're repeating ourselves all day long. Pick up your coat, take out your homework, dinner's ready. You know, we're given the same commands all day and we mightn't be getting the desired response. And it can be hugely frustrating for parents. And there's just little tips and tricks to kind of help children be able to hear what you're saying more often and follow your instruction. So hopefully it's going to help parents feel less frustrated and put their energies, I suppose, into a different place, you know. Like, the reality is that parents, it is normal for children not to follow our, a direction or a command or an instruction that we give all of the time. That's normal. They say that on average, for every three commands that you give, two out of the three a child will follow. But we definitely can help people, help parents increase success anyway.
And how can we do that though, Shirley?
Yes, the topical one, I think the one that you're talking about is, as parents, we need to avoid saying stop, no, don't. So like, how often, if you think about it, in the day when you're parenting, do parents say no, don't when they're giving a command? So like, stop hitting your sister, don't run, no, you can't wear your pajamas to the park. We phrase things in the negative, and that actually doesn't help our children to know what they need to do. We tell them what they need to stop doing, and that isn't always helpful. So their brains are still developing. Children's brains are still developing, and even teenagers, you know, and they're busy with their own stuff that they see is important, like a game they might be playing or a chat they're having with their friend or even having a lovely daydream for themselves. Their brain is busy with all these thoughts and they're soaking up the world so much and taking in so much information all day. So when we hear say, stop fighting with your sister, they hear fighting and they just continue fighting. So it's, if we can phrase it in the positive, so tell children what they need to do instead of what they need to stop doing, then you're going to get more success. So instead of saying stop running, it's walk, please. Do you know?
I know, but instead of saying stop fighting, what do you do?
Hands by your sides, because if they're by your sides, you're not hitting your sister.
Ah, you can headbutt.
No, but you know what I mean.
I know, I'm only being facetious.
So like, or stand beside me, whatever you want them to do, do you know? So just saying stop fighting with your sister is not going to help. So, yeah, it's like, what I would say is, like, you might say things like walk slowly, hands by your sides. You can wear your pajamas around the house, but if you want to go to the park, you must get dressed. So that's more clear. The easiest way, though, I have to say, when I first started doing this, I felt really frustrated as a parent because I was getting tongue-tied trying to think of the positive. So what I would say to parents is, pick a half an hour in the day and just, you'll know yourself, the commands you give most often, write them down as you have said them as you always have said them, and then frame them into the positive. So what do you want the child to be doing instead? That's the question you need to ask yourself. So it's like 2 feet on the floor if they're jumping on furniture. It's quiet voice or quiet please rather than stop shouting. do you know?
Yeah.
Indoor voice, please, you know, and add the please at the end so that it's polite. Please at the beginning of a sentence might sound like you're begging. So there's an option to opt out and say no thanks, do you know? So just put your please on the end rather than at the beginning of the command.
Okay, I'll do that.
So yeah, so those things, so like, try and be kind to yourself. So I would say when you start framing them, writing them out in the positive, stick them somewhere that you are in the room that you give commands most often, so that you can look at it, and pick a half an hour in the day where you're going to commit to using positive commands for half an hour, rather than trying to change the whole way you speak. Like, 'cause we've grown up listening to our own parents saying, stop hitting your sister, don't talk like to your brother like that, you know, and this kind of stuff. So you're avoiding the stop, no, don't commands is a massive change for parents. So have it stuck on the fridge and just commit to half an hour, and slowly then you'll start to use it elsewhere in the day.
So okay, you'd be very tired after that half hour, I have to say, but we'll try.
Yeah, yeah, it isn't easy, but it does actually help, because you're telling the child the command isn't vague. You're telling the child what you want them to be doing, and you're rather than what you want them to stop doing. The other thing we can do is give vague commands, like watch it. You know, if you're walking along and you're worried about cars or whatever, you go, watch it, watch what? You know, what am I looking out for? So be clear with your command. Look out for cars, stand beside me, please, or whatever, you know. Stop at the end of the footpath, you know, rather than watch it. Or let's clean up. Well, let's not. Do you know? So
I would have thought let's is a very common one.
Yeah.
It's almost like, as you feel, it's almost embracing, if you know what I mean. It's, well, let's us all do something, you know. And I
well,
would have thought
it's fun, yes, but if yeah. it's something that you think they're not going to enjoy, like let's clean up the toys, then no, let's not. It might be the option that the child chooses. There's a choice. You're
so
giving
the,
an opt-out.
Right, the toys need to be tidied up.
Yes.
So how am I going to say it?
So now we'll clean up the toys together. So you're still saying it's going to be a joint venture, but you're saying it's not optional.
Okay. I let you away with that one, but I'm not sure. But go on.
Yeah. No, honestly, these do work. Like, try it out. They do work. The other thing is routine charts. So as adults, we make a shopping list so that we don't forget an item that we really want as essential, or we make to-do lists for ourselves so that we remember the important things. The same thing works for children. So having a routine chart. So if just say the mornings don't go so well, you find you're giving a lot of commands in the morning because your child isn't a morning person, then make a routine chart for the morning. So it has a to-do list of what the child has to do. Then stick it in a part of their, you know, in their bedroom or the bathroom or wherever you think they're going to see it, so that they have a to-do list to work off of. And it will mean that you give less commands at that time of the day. And the child is able to follow the instruction because you have the to-do list of what they want to do, you want them to be doing in the mornings. Same if it's after school or if it's bedtime, make a to-do list or clean their room. Like your idea of a clean room and their idea of a clean room might be really different. So work, make a list of all the tasks that you want them to complete in cleaning their room. Stick it in their bedroom, and then when you ask them to clean your room, they're very clear on what constitutes a clean room by your standards. And it means you're saying less. You're not having to repeat yourself.
Okay, now that's fine. Talking about it, my attitude to what a clean room is and my wife's attitude to what a clean room is are totally different as well. So I know where you're coming from.
So maybe you need a to-do list as well, is it?
No, thanks.
So yes, choosing your battles then. The other thing is we can get caught up in giving commands and like really, is it important? So things like our child might be choosing or wanting to wear an outfit that we don't think is matches or, you know, but they like it. Like if it's a family day where they're not at school, there's no big family event, if the clothes are going to be weather appropriate for where you're going, there's no harm in allowing the child to have that choice. So be less focused on what other your neighbours might think if your child is wearing a particular outfit that you think is not what you'd usually put them in, and let them express their individuality.
And that's fine then. Well, what do you do then the day it is a family event?
So then you're saying today is a family event, so we'll go with my choice, but tomorrow it can be your choice.
Okay.
So you're giving them the option of when they can choose again. And also allowing children to experience mistakes. So I love when I see toddlers with shoes on the wrong feet, because it means the parent has allowed them to experience why we have shoes on the right way. So if they put their shoes on the wrong feet, they'll feel that it feels uncomfortable, and then they'll understand and listen to you when you say the shoes go this way. So allow them to experience why things are a certain way.
Okay.
They might say they don't want to wear their coat going outside and it's raining. Instead of like having a big insist and a battle of wills before you go out, let them go outside without a coat, but bring the coat with you. They'll feel the rain on them and they won't be long asking you, "Mommy, can I have my coat?" or "Daddy, can I have my coat?" So, you know, allow...
And that's the time then to get in a quick "I told you so." But
well, I'd say avoid the "I told you so," but it's just, it helps, they're learning and they're wanting to, like when you think about it, children don't have much choice. At school, they wear a uniform. They eat the lunch that's put in front of them. You cook a dinner and it's one pot for all. You know, so there's not much choice. They have to go to bed when you say. So there's not much choice that they can have. So if you can give choices, and they will learn from those experiences far better. The next time they're going out and you say your coat, they'll remember that they got, they felt cold, or it was raining and they felt wet. So they'll put the coat on. And give choice where you can. Giving choice helps children to learn to problem solve, to think ahead on what might happen if they choose a certain choice. And it can be really helpful if siblings are fighting, say, over a game or a toy. Come up with a plan to share together, or "I will remove it until you get along." So we talked about this in previous ones.
We did, yeah.
Giving the choice will help them come up with a plan. Using first, then, or when then commands. So that really helps children to wait. It's really hard to wait when you're a child and there's something fun coming up. So if you're going to the park but you need to go to the post office first, saying, "First we're going to go to the post office and post the letter, then we're going to the park." It helps children learn the order of things, that you haven't forgotten the treat or the reason that they might be very excited and find it difficult to wait. "First we're going to have our dinner, then we'll have something nice." So if they're asking for a treat. So first then or when then commands are really helpful. And the last thing I would say is giving one command at a time. I know I have fallen into this trap as a parent where, you know, you've collected them from school and on the way home or when they get in the door, you're like, "Hang up your coat, take off your shoes, take your lunchbox out of the school bag. Don't forget to hang up your uniform when you take it off. Where's your books? Where's your homework journal?" We're giving it, firing a lot of commands, and we tend to do it when we're just arriving in home or first thing in the morning. That tends to be when we give. So just watch that we give one command, allow the child to actually follow it, and then before we give the next command. That's kind of key. If we fire off commands too quickly, children forget half of the instruction. And my other lovely tip, and you can do this with an adult or another child in the room, is praise the person in the room who is doing as you asked. So if you've got a child who's eating their dinner with their fingers, that, and you know, there's another adult who is using cutlery, that you praise them. You know, "It's great. Yeah. Thank you for using your cutlery." Then the child who is using their fingers will start using the cutlery. So praise somebody in the room who is doing what you would like your child to be doing, be it adult or child. And then the child will do it. The key part to that, though, is when the child that wasn't doing what you wanted starts doing what you wanted, then praise them. Or even saying, you know, if you give a command to two of your children and one child does it and the other isn't, you can say to the child who is doing it, "Thank you for doing as I asked first time."
We call that child Niall in our house, but anyway, we won't go there.
Yeah, everybody has one. And lastly, no, nobody likes hearing the word no. Adults don't like hearing it. Children definitely don't. It's normal to expect a child to be upset if you do say, "Sorry, no, you can't have something." But you can empathise with how they feel. It doesn't mean you have to change your mind. So you can say, "Look, I know you're upset by this, but this is just the way it has to be." You know, and obviously, any parent can pop into our parent drop-in clinic any Tuesday morning. if they would like to chat any through any of this or get more ideas or even pop in and ask us to help them with printing off their routine charts.
Give us the times for that now, will you? Because
just
I think that's
Tuesday
it's a great service.
Any Tuesday morning. I'm there every Tuesday morning. So if they just come pop along any Tuesday morning, we're there.
And it's open to everyone.
Yeah, it's open to everyone and it's free.
Absolutely brilliant. Look, Shirley, thanks a million. I'm not so sure I agreed with everything you said today, but I agreed with most of it, all right, you know. Look, thanks a million for that. That's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.